Episode 8. Choices, choices, and more choices. Suppose that you and I are sipping a delicious cup of coffee. And we are chatting about high-achieving actions. Then, in the middle of the conversation, I present you with two choices. Option A. You never ever have to wrestle with those awful feelings of making mistakes, being a failure, feeling responsible for others' needs, worrying for hours in your head about the ideal outcome, or dealing with those relentless self-criticizing thoughts. Option B. You can do all the stuff that is deeply important to you, hold onto your standards, do things your way, and you also learn to make room for all those worries, anxieties, and fears about being a failure or making mistakes. You can be who you are, do what matters, accept yourself, and show up to others as it matters to you. In other words, you can live the life you want to live with both the sweet and the sour. Which option will you choose? Think about it. Is it possible that every time you deeply care about stuff, you're also going to experience yucky feelings about not being good enough? Is it possible that when things matter to you, you're also going to deal with annoying fears of making mistakes, errors, and boo-boos? If you handle those annoying experiences by pushing more and more, working harder and harder, doing more and more, and spending all your energy in that bubble, making sure that nothing goes wrong, without examining how all those actions are working in your life, how will that be for you? How will your life be? How will your life look? Whether you realize it or not, you're making around 35,000 choices a day. And yes, you did hear this correctly. You are making around 35,000 choices a day. That's a lot of choosing, right? You're always choosing all types of things. You are choosing to eat or go to the gym. You are choosing to journal or call your friend. You are choosing to take a vacation or keep working. You are choosing to savor white or dark chocolate. You are choosing to listen to music or go for a hike. You are choosing to show up to your relationships or watch a movie. You are choosing to sit or stand up when reading. Imagine for a moment that you choose to put into action ACT skills and distinguish when to put all your energy into getting things right and perfectly and when to put your energy into things being good enough. How will it be? What will you be doing? Will you travel more? Will you work less? Will you hang out more with your friends? Will you try new hobbies even though you're not good at them? Doing things right is, at times, the right thing to do. When doing what you really, really want and what you really, really care about, you will encounter, of course, all types of blocks. Many things will get in your way. Health problems, family gatherings, feelings of fatigue, work responsibilities, doubting thoughts, and many more. Your mind may protest, throw tantrums, and demand that you do things the old way. Your mind may ask you to do things faster and faster, perfectly, or better and better. If this collection of demanding thoughts goes unchecked, It can easily take you on a big detour away from your values and get you lost in a meaningless cycle. While working on this audio guide and the book itself, I recalled the many, many, many conversations I had with clients and friends about perfectionistic actions, fears of failing, self-criticism, and the push to work relentlessly. One person said to me, loud and clear, "Patricia, I have no desire to lessen my attention to detail or my desire for perfection. I see these things as attributes. I'm sure most people I work with see my attention to detail and perfectionistic behaviors as attributes, and anything less is settling for subpar quality." Other clients of mine said, "Why should I do less than what I'm capable of? Why should I do mediocre work? Why should I stop giving my best?" So, one thing is very clear to me. High-achieving behaviors are resistant to change. End of the story. And because high-achieving behaviors are resistant to change, there are no limits to what your mind can come up with. So who knows how many more variations on those thoughts will appear in your mind over the course of your lifetime, and how many more I will hear over the course of mine. When your mind comes up with all those reasons to keep doing what you have been doing without fully checking the workability of your actions, act style, do your best to step back and intentionally look at how things really work for you. If you keep doing the same old, high-achieving actions. I repeat, do your best to step back and purposefully look at how things will really work for you if you keep doing the same old, high-achieving actions. What will happen to your life if you keep holding yourself responsible for others' well-being beyond your own capacities and at all times? What will happen if you keep avoiding starting things until you are sure you have collected all the necessary information? What will happen if you relentlessly pursue the things you care about without checking how things are going in other areas of your life? You see, I am not here to tell you that high-achieving behaviors are demons. Because, as you have heard me say before, wanting to do things to high standards, striving to do your best, and pursuing what you care about with close attention to detail are not the problem. The problem is how you go about doing the things that are important to you, how those actions affect your life, and how revitalizing or not they are for you. That is why it's super, super important for you to keep in mind that choosing to do things right is the right thing to do at times. And sometimes, choosing to let things go can also be the right thing to do. You may wonder, but how do I make that distinction? Here's my response. By always asking yourself, which game am I playing? Am I playing the game of getting things right and perfectly all the time? Or am I playing the workability game? And I can tell you that when choosing which game you want to play, you are going to make tough choices. And tough choices need kindness. On a Wednesday afternoon, in the middle of a warm spring, I was laying down on the floor in my living room, holding a packet of ice to my forehead. I had an awful migraine and an extraordinary sense of exhaustion that I hadn't felt in years. I thought it was stress. I thought I didn't sleep well that day. I thought that maybe it was allergies. That day, I felt something like a switch turned off inside me. After multiple medical tests over a couple of weeks and fighting with an inefficient medical system in which doctors see more than 60 patients a day, I learned that I had a significant iron deficiency. And when I say significant, I mean truly significant with capital letters. My iron levels were so low that I was dragging my feet to take care of all the things I needed to do during the day and going to bed between 7 and 8 o'clock most evenings. Who was this exhausted person trying to keep up with her day? On top of that, despite taking daily iron supplements, I started having regular shortness of breath, as if I were having a panic attack. Thank goodness for my training. I knew that it was important to watch the wave of those sensations coming and going without doing anything about them. Low levels of iron can really affect the levels of oxygen that go into your blood. I genuinely miss being who I was. Some days were better than others, but overall, I wasn't myself. I became fragments of myself. For more than a year, I had to readjust every single thing I did because my body and brain couldn't function as usual. I could only maintain my energy levels for 7 to 8 hours a day. I had 7 to 8 hours for everything. Working, cooking, hanging out with people, cleaning, making phone calls, writing, exercising, and so on. Only 8 hours. On days when I felt okay and did a bit more for a bit longer, I felt super fatigued for a few days after. Overdoing what my body was capable of doing those days came with a very, very high price. The reality was brutal. I had to carefully choose where to allocate my 8 hours of daily energy. It was a tough time. What made it so tough was that every moment I had to choose between things that I care deeply about, like my relationships, my career, my personal growth, my health, and the things that I needed to do on a daily basis. Choosing between the things you care about is tough, but giving yourself the freedom to do so is liberating. With every decision I made, there was a sense of grief. Saying yes to something that mattered meant also saying no to something that mattered as well. With every choice, there were fears of coming across as rude, being annoying, missing career opportunities, or losing close friendships. The bottom line is that with each tough choice we need to make, we dance with our fears. Pause and play. The reality, dear listeners, is that living your values is not the path to powering through, toughening up, or doing perfectly the things that matter to you all the time. Living your values involves making choices. Living with meaning is choosing. Sometimes you need to make tough choices. You may have to walk away from something you deeply care about. you may have to stop doing something in the name of your values. You may choose to do some things right and perfectly. You may choose to let some things go. And to make these choices, here is what you need to do. Number one, always ask yourself, which game am I playing? Am I playing the game of getting things right and perfectly all the time? Or am I playing the workability game? Which game do I want to play? Number two, give yourself permission to make tough choices. Give yourself permission to intentionally walk away from some things that you care about instead of trying to do them all. Number three, give yourself a gentle touch of kindness, compassion, and caring after each tough decision you make, as if someone who cares about you were next to you, supporting you all the way. Now, in the next episode, let's figure out what type of relationships you want to have.